south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Yes, I get emails. Man, do I get emails. Some of them just little one-liners and statements like, Johnny, have you ever had a serious head injury? I guess I'm stuck with that one now, and it'll come up in every interview I have. And some emails, I'm telling you, they are book chapters in themselves. And you know, for all you guys and gals out there who do write very long emails to me, you're better off doing a one-on-one phone consult with me. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and we can hook one up. Because you can't really expect me to answer your email questions unless they kind of have a broad-ranging theme that everyone can get something out of. Because, you know, I do get emails from people laying out their complete life history and what they're looking for, what kind of job, what kind of location, what kind of climate. They're asking where's the best place for this, for that, cheapest land, least big brother, best infrastructure, where to grow the best coffee or pineapples, best and cheapest dope, least corrupt cops, though those two don't go together, do they? Oh, and people want to know where's the best fishing, cheapest beer, hottest girls. And you know, that's why one-on-one phone consults are the best, because then I send you a formulario, that's a questionnaire, so we can hone in on everything you particularly are looking for in your own plan B. Meanwhile, on this show, we have to talk about generalities, because, for example, when I get an email from someone saying, Johnny, I'm going to Medellin, Colombia. I'm looking to rent a place in the district of Poblado. Specifically, Johnny, which realtors or real estate agents do you recommend? Well, first of all, I don't recommend Poblado unless you got tons of dough. Man, I don't even answer emails like that. How should I answer that if I don't even think it's a great place for gringos and expats? And of what interest is it to all the other listeners? Probably zero. Hey, but, you know, I do know answers to a lot of those questions, and if I don't, I can find out in a hurry. So, in the end, when you want specific answers, you have to do a phone or Skype consult with me. But meanwhile, as mentioned, I get these gigantic emails sometimes that surely are 10,000 words. And some of them, like the one I just got recently and I'm going to read parts of, have some really good information, especially when they're coming from gringos and expats who are already on the ground down here and have got some cool stories to tell. So without further ado, let's get into the meat of this one from Mr. P.T. Marcos. By the way, the letters P.T. when stuck in front or after anyone's name when they write me an email signifies something unique to a certain kind of traveler. It stands for perpetual traveler or permanent traveler. In other words, someone who doesn't have a permanent base set up but is traveling all the time. And by the way, when I get emails from people like that or I run into them on my own travels, they're almost always traveling alone. It's difficult to be a P.T. or perpetual traveler when you've got more than one person with you, because then you're always thinking about the other person's happiness or state of well-being, and that's one of the reasons you become a PT. So you can be impulsive, do things on the fly, and make decisions at will, without thinking about or giving a rip what friends, family, or anyone else thinks. You just do what feels right to you. Now, expat Eddie says, and he was a PT for a while, it's like being the captain of your own boat with no passengers. You get it, right? All right, I'll read parts of P.T. Marcos' tome now and add my 2 and 3 cent bits in as usual. It starts, Hi, Johnny. Your recent podcasts have been as good as ever. Keep up the great work. Though I have some comments about using WhatsApp in Latin America. By the way, it's WhatsApp, not What's Up. Mr. P.T., WhatsApp or What's Up? Tomato, tomato, potato, patato. Latinos never get it right, so why should I? Anyway, he says, As you know, Johnny, in Latin America, it's almost always noisy unless you're at home or living way out in the boonies. How many times have you answered the phone when there were loud buses going by as you were walking or walking past a junkie store that had speakers outside blasting distorted music for 16 blocks? Always at maximum volume, too. All right, me, Johnny. Yep, he's right. There are times I've actually had to plug my ears. The noise is so painful. I mean painful. Then he says, Or if you're on a phone, the connection gets so distorted that you couldn't even tell what language the other person was speaking. So for Latinos and gringos and expats, it really does come in handy to have something like WhatsApp, simply to send someone texts and photos without the noise getting in the way. Because you can send a message even when a parade of 1,000 drums and trumpets or a throbbing, jacked-up, neon-lit disco mobile driven by a macho guy with a microscopic penis rolls around the corner just as your phone rings. In fact, I think that must be the reason why techies made that app in the first place, the noise factor. And they probably wrote the software in an office with 15 barking dogs outside, with the neighborhood cocks crowing every hour on the hour. Though I have to caution you about something when you're on WhatsApp. That is, if you ever get into a WhatsApp group for Latinos, for whatever reason, you'll see that they love to send jokes and videos back and forth constantly. And if you don't turn off the group's notification, your phone will beep and buzz all day long with meaningless jokes, videos, and typical childish, macho, sexy bathroom humor. Yep, that's the sophisticated state of those Latin comic geniuses who post that stuff. Embarrassingly stupid to us, yes, but Latinos love it. As for me, I keep meaning to look at more of these dumb things in hope of learning more about the local slang and humor, if you can call it that, but for some reason I haven't got around to it yet. Could be never. Probably just as well. But, Johnny, you were right on in your response to Mr. D, who asked you about living the life of a perpetual traveler, a PT, as in my namesake, PT Marcos. In fact, as a perpetual nomad myself, I can say that you were correct on every single point. All right, me, Johnny here. He's referring to a show a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about an email I got from a guy who said, Johnny, screw setting up a base in Latin America. Why don't you just kind of roam from town to town, country to country, and live the life of a gringo traveler, moving around at will. If you listened to that show, you heard me give around 10, maybe 20 reasons why, even if you're living upscale in nice hotels and such, and you're flush with dough, it has lots of downsides and gets old real fast. That's my opinion. I did it a while. But P.T. Marcos begs to differ. He says, sure, it's true. There are heaps and challenges, Johnny, to the PT lifestyle. It's only a life for the very select few, and even then, for only a limited time. But it has some initial advantages. So in defense of the PT, that is perpetual traveler lifestyle, let me throw this stuff at you. Number one, the pace of change, at least here in Mexico where I've been lately, has reached breakneck speed. Problem is, and it wasn't like this just a few years ago, you never know if the city or village that you fell in love with a year ago will be even tolerable 2 years from now. So you might want to keep that bug-out bag packed. Cancun syndrome, I call it. As you know, Johnny, Cancun was a tiny fishing village only 40 years ago, and in that short time, it has become a huge metropolis of over 1 million people. In addition, the main city, the main downtown, has a 20-kilometer hotel zone that's 15 miles long. Just wall-to-wall condos and hotels. So how did it get that way? Well, this unchecked growth is a result of Mexican national government-sponsored international tourist promotions, specifically targeting gringo travel agencies. So, Johnny, if you happen to choose what you think is a nice place, even one that's off the tourist trail, and the government starts promoting the hell out of it internationally, another great example, Costa Rica, then look out. All right, PT, meet Johnny again. I call that the international living effect. And boy, have you got that right. Then he says, even if you're off the tourist trail and the government starts promoting the place, then rather soon it turns into a hybrid of Disneyland and a first world shopping mall, and prices soon escalate to first world levels. But you know, Johnny, there doesn't even have to be a government program in order to have such rapid change. In fact, one of my favorite sleepy Mexican beach towns has become inundated with tourists because hotels and resorts are placing ads up north in the U.S. in cities that have direct air routes. Last year, for example, and for the first time ever, the small town I used to love didn't even experience its normal low season from April to November. In fact, a taxi driver told me the high season lasted the entire year without a single break. And of course, prices have started to escalate. Local expats have started to wonder now, how many years does this town have left before the Cancun effect makes the place unaffordable and way too busy. Oh, and of course, Johnny, there's also the heavy influence of your favorite magazine, International Living. There, he hit on it. Unfortunately, he says, this magazine doesn't draw in people who want to fit into the local culture and learn the language. No, they want cheap, they want to live close to other gringos, and don't want to put in the effort to learn the language. International Living draws the kind of people who view the world as their own private resort. While they appreciate the quaint cuteness of the local culture, superficially at least, like most tourists do, it's sort of an artificial situation. Those International Living types pay lip service to the local culture like most people pay lip service to the Chinese when they eat at a Chinese restaurant. Just like a Chinese restaurant on U.S. soil. Before long, the area changes into something that resembles the U.S. more than the original culture, and the signs start popping up in English. So that's my take, Johnny. What do you think? Well, PT, I think you hit it right on the head. Just look at Costa Rica, Panama, and the two most recent examples, Cuenca, Ecuador, and Medellin, Colombia. Why do you think so many gringos and expats are piling in? Simply because they follow rags and blogs like International Living, Escape Artist, Condé Nast Traveler, AARP, and dozens of others. Look, they're always coming up with top 10 cheap and easy retirement destinations for people on pensions and such. And again, this year, in most of those surveys, the top two spots are Cuenca, Ecuador, and Medellin, Colombia. And that just means if either of those places are your plan B destination, you can kiss your gringo advantage goodbye. In other words, if you think you're going to live a gringo lifestyle on that Social Security check, $1,500 a month, well, you might be able to do it for a year or two more, but you can forget about it as a long-term plan. Go ahead, ask anyone who's living in Costa Rica or Panama right now. A few years back, a Social Security check would do you fine in those places, but no more. Thank you, International Living. All right then, P.T. Marco says, Johnny, as an aside on the topic of change, even the election of Trump made things different here in Mexico. It used to be that most Mexicans would want to chat you up, be friendly. Now, many of them seem more standoffish, and sometimes you get the feeling that you're only being tolerated because you got a big dollar sign on your forehead. Luckily, this seems to be lessening a bit now, but it was quite noticeable for Trump's first 2 years. Of course, as you might expect, whenever local Mexicans find out that I'm Canadian, they become much friendlier. Yep, Mr. P.T. Marcos, Johnny here again. That's your Canadian advantage. Eh? Then P.T. Marcos says there's that touchy subject of climate change, which is more likely to be due to massive cyclical changes in the sun and rampant geoengineering programs than too many SUVs, I think. And what about global cooling, not global warming? Although CNN watchers will disagree as they sing the praises of sociopaths like Obama, Soros, Bill, Hillary, and now that the old man's died, the Bushes. That said, as far as climate change, my Mexican Altiplano home base has now become so unpredictable in the winters that it reaches temperatures as low as freezing, with cold rains that can freeze your skin. That never happened before. And this effect is aggravated by the massive thrice-daily geoengineering trails, which create unusually weird and heavy cloud formations that make it so dark in the late afternoon you'd think you're up in the tundra. I'd know, I'm Canadian. It was nothing like this 10 years ago, when the winters were mostly warm and sunny here. All right, me Johnny here. You know, I'm always asking Latinos I meet, educated Latinos, cab drivers, shoeshine boys, waiters, waitresses, about their take on local climate change. And it seems always, to a person, they just say, huh? Or in Spanish, ¿cómo? And that means in regards to what exactly? To a person, they say, we always have crazy weather. Sometimes it's perfect, sometimes it's severe, sometimes hurricanes, sometimes floods. That's the way it is. And when you talk to farmers, they'll say, I've had some really bad years and some really good years. Really dry years and really wet years. To me, farming's a crazy business. It's so unpredictable. Yet when you go to the big outdoor markets, they've got so much produce and fruit, they have to throw it away at the end of the day. In fact, just yesterday, I was speaking to two Uber guys. I said, how's the climate been over the last couple of years? Has it changed at all? And they shrugged and said, no. I said, does it seem hotter or colder? Is anybody talking about it? And they said, no. Although they've all heard about the Latin version of so-called global warming or climate change. Oh, and they don't translate the words climate change. They translate global warming. That would be calentamiento global. And they all know that term. They've heard it before on TV, the news, etc. Meanwhile, down here where I spent most of my time, south of the border, that's south of Mexico, people don't talk about it, but they see the news on TV. And the local papers, they rarely mention it. Unless they're translated pieces coming from syndicated articles originally in English from big news services up in the States. Now, in a past show, a long time ago, I mentioned that every big Sunday newspaper down here has a section in it that comes directly from the New York Times or my Jammy Herald. They just love my Jammy, you know. Isn't that a crazy way to feed their gringo wannabe fix, huh? I wonder who thought that one up. Has to cost some dough, you know, because you do have to buy the syndication rights and get it translated. On the other hand, maybe it's cheap because newspapers in the States are dying and down here they're alive and kicking. And you know, sometimes when there's a Sunday paper lying around, I'll pick up that section and read it just to see what kind of BS the New York Times is dishing out to the Latin public. It's usually a little Sunday insert of about 10 pages. Though, just like first world people, most Latinos just glance at the headlines and then read the sports page. But, you know, some upscale educated Latinos, gringo wannabes, do read that stuff. And that's one way, along with CNN Latin America, they get hammered with a weekly dose of first world fake news. Anyway, this global warming thing, as far as Latin America, has got a lot of people baffled. P.T. Marcos is saying in Mexico, anyway, he's seeing geoengineering with chemtrails as a routine thing. Meanwhile, south of the border, that would be south of Mexico's southern border, where I hang out 99.9% of the time, I just don't see any chemtrails at all. In fact, I've never seen them. And believe me, I'm the kind of guy who looks up once in a while. I've always had telescopes or spotting scopes. In fact, I've even got a very high-quality digital imaging thermal scope. Man, is that a cool toy to use at night. But I digress as usual. All right, back to PT's email and why he says being a PT, that is, moving around a lot, can be a good thing. Because changes in Latin America are coming fast and you don't want to be stuck in one place. He says, there must be more than a few gringos and expats who bought houses in Nicaragua who are wondering what the hell to do with them now, being that the place is on the edge of martial law and social chaos. All right, meet Johnny again. Let me throw in my two copper coins here. Oops, I forgot pennies aren't copper anymore. Because inflation has made the use of copper too expensive for pennies. So they're copper-plated tin or zinc now. But you knew that already, right? Anyway, you long-time listeners to my show know I've never given Nicaragua the complete thumbs up. Not even a little thumbs up. Even when things seem to be going great guns. Though I had many listeners questioning me all the time, I'd say, hey, look out for those Chinese and look out for that pedophile dictator, fair-weather communist, Ortega. As long as he and his friends and his family remain fat and happy through Chinese payoffs, etc., to grease the way for that second canal that never happened, everything was fine and gringo-friendly. But now that the Chinese money is dried up, well, you don't want to be there. All right, then P.T. Marco says, my point, Johnny, is that in the midst of all this unpleasant, unexpected change here in Latin America, speaking mostly of Mexico, of course, I find being a nomad, a perpetual P.T., has its advantages. For example, is your nice, calm, off-the-tourist-trail area turning into a hotel zone? Or maybe that nice, fresh rain in the morning is turning to ice? If you're a P.T., you can easily just pack your bags and run. With no house or long-term contract or lease, it's easy to take off for greener pastures. Sometimes all you need to do is move to a new neighborhood within the same city or country. You can always become a snowbird, like so many Canadians do, and run to the beach for the winter. Though there still may come a time, Johnny, when you've gotten out of Dodge and you need to get out of the old Dodge and to the new Dodge 2.0. So, Johnny, if you'll indulge me for just a while longer, I'd like to share some tips for your listeners from my own experience as a PT, a perpetual nomad. First things first, find a Latin country that feels like a good fit for you. Doesn't matter what your friends think. It just has to be a reasonable place that you like and feels like it could be a home for your circumstances. I did this myself by visiting different Latin American countries on my vacations and realizing that as good as they all were, I didn't like them as much as I liked certain places in Mexico. So I went to Mexico and went to a few new cities after I retired before settling down. But even as a PT, a perpetual traveler, it's always best to choose a city that you'll want to use as your home base. Then possibly find a rental apartment or house that you can keep coming back to. Then you can get your residency status, driver's license, local bank account, and use the rental as your address for paperwork. That's a must. It's even better to use a lawyer for a lot of this stuff, as you suggest, Johnny. Then it's also important to get a worldwide private health care plan, too. All right, me, Johnny, here again. Talking about worldwide health care coverage plans, yeah, they're available by big first world corporations, too, like Cigna. But they're never, ever as cheap as having a private health care plan in your individual Latin country. In fact, talking about Cigna, I just checked out a plan. It's about four times as expensive as a full coverage, very good Latin American health care plan in Colombia. Just comparing the two, the Colombian plan's about $120 a month. The Cigna plan, $500 a month. Thing is, the Cigna plan has worldwide coverage and the Colombian plan only in Colombia. So in that regard, Mr. PT Marcos is totally correct. If you're going to be a PT, you have to get a worldwide medical coverage plan. But if, for example, your budget is $1,500 or $2,000 a month, and $500 of it is going for your health care plan, is that really an economically effective trade-off? Those are things to consider. Anyway, he goes on to say, if you don't know much Spanish, man, you better learn, especially if you're going to be a PT. You must become a professional student in one way or another. Classes are cheap and you can meet interesting people down here, but you must not limit yourself to English. The more Spanish you know, the more it'll help you in setting up a nice network of contacts. Besides that, it'll certainly double your chances of being able to find a way to make some income if that's necessary for you to do. Then he says, but I myself am a pensioner, so I get a monthly income and it's fine for me to live on. So I can't speak from experience on how to look for work here. Though there's always that nagging question, will your pension hold out as long as you do? But if you're the traveling sort, thinking about being a PT, you're going to need a home base. It's exactly like you said, Johnny. Moving around a lot to different cities and such is an exercise in fatigue and exhaustion. But if you do as I do, that is rotate between two or three familiar cities, and then in each one, you know where your favorite hangouts are, as well as the necessary services such as doctors, banks, clinics, etc., and maybe even have the same places to rent each year, you'll be all right. Though being a PT is an exercise for single people and not necessarily for the faint of heart. So if you limit yourself to just a few places, say an altiplano city and then a couple of beach towns, with luck you'll start making friends, both first world friends and locals. They'll be easy to locate too because they'll all have WhatsApp. Otherwise, Johnny, if you don't make friends or make friends easily, you can get pretty lonely out there being a PT. Even if you're good at meeting people quickly, it's not the same as having friends that you've known for a long time, especially as you get older. Plus, you've got so many gringos and expats moving in and out all the time, especially if you're in a tourist area or located in a beach town. Making permanent long-term friends you can count on, not so certain. Then PT says, and Johnny, one challenge you didn't mention is that Spanish, the language itself, changes in many of the places that you go to. So you have to be someone who enjoys learning new local words and accents. Also, you didn't mention that food could change a great deal from place to place. For example, here in Mexico, you'll see items on a menu that are totally unfamiliar from one region to the next. For some of us visitors, it's a pain, but for others, it's part of the fun. But if you're confused, there is a trick you can use. If you see something on the menu you don't recognize, just type the word into Google Images on that smartphone of yours, Johnny, that you advise against. If you do that, you'll see what the food looks like on the screen. By the way, in Latin America, you could still use a smartphone and stay under the radar. You just buy another chip after you buy your phone. The new chip won't have any of your real ID info attached to it. You can put in some interesting alternative info. Yep, me, Johnny, here, I do that all the time. It's disinformation, man. And if you think that's playing dirty, well, just remember, your government lies to you all the time. So why not fight fire with fire? By the way, I do have a burner phone and a kind of a dumb smartphone that's loaded with disinformation and therefore under the radar. I finally broke down. I needed that because it's almost impossible to live in Latin America without Waze or Google Maps. And now, of course, WhatsApp. The fact is, these days, you can't even get a refrigerator repairman to come over to your house unless you've got WhatsApp. Why? Because these days, even all tradesmen are operating with WhatsApp. Because in most Latin countries, they have unlimited data plans, and WhatsApp is data plan based. And practically all Latinos have figured out they never really have to use the real phone service again. Besides that, your WhatsApp number is the same number as your regular cell number. And even Latinos who've run out of dough and can't afford even a cheap data plan, all they have to do is pop into a Wi-Fi zone, and those are everywhere these days, and they've got WhatsApp. By the way, if you don't have WhatsApp and you phone up the refrigerator repairman, sure, he'll answer and he'll come over, but you won't get a return phone call because chances are he hasn't loaded dough into his cell phone account. Why would he? He will just load up his data plan for WhatsApp. Then PT Marco says, if you're going to be a PT, it's good to find other single people for two reasons. One is that people who travel in couples or groups don't socialize much outside of their group. Another is that talking to a couple is very different from talking to a single person. As nice as they might be, their attention is always focused on the other person. It's the same third wheel feel you get when you're a single person hanging around with a married couple. So finally, Johnny, I have to mention that being a PT was not my first choice. I wanted to buy a house. But the real estate bubble in Latin America and the large drop in Canadian dollar when I retired made that unfeasible. And the new colder winters in the Mexican Altiplano have made it too uncomfortable to stay in the Mexican winters. Then he says, one last question, Johnny. Have you experienced climate change in Guatemala or in Central America? Well, Mr. P.T. Marcos, I touched on that earlier. Seems, if anything, the weather's a little more unpredictable and crazier, but it doesn't appear to be getting warmer. And like you said, in your region, it's getting colder, making the subject as controversial as ever. But I'll say one thing, no one's complaining. There's a shortage of fruit or vegetables in these gigantic markets. You don't hear anybody talking about climate change there. You think that would be the place you'd hear a lot of talk if the locals were actually worried about it. And you'd see less and less quantities of fruits and vegetables and the prices going up. But that's just not the case. Though, time will tell. Then, finally, P.T. Marco says, Johnny, there's a lot more to say, but this is already the longest email I've ever sent you. Hope it's been worth the read. Yes, it was, P.T. Marcos, and I'm glad we could get most of it in today.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy. Nos vemos!